My dearest Swami, the Lord of the universe, the consciousness that pervades every particle of this vast universe, my closest companion and the love of my life. Swami, my loving pranams at your divine lotus feet. Distinguished guest, respected elders, brothers and sisters, Om Shri Sai Ram. My name is Roshini Viswanandan, and I have been blessed with the opportunity to serve as the Deputy International Young Adults Coordinator in the SSIO. Brothers and sisters, today we attended the Go Green Conference organized by the SSIO. At the outset, I must admit that I was probably and still am not ideal when it comes to environmental conservation. In fact, the Go Green Conference being organized here in Prashanthi Nilayam and the fact that I had to be part of it was a little surprising to me. However, as we started our journey of organizing this conference, my thoughts and actions, without any effort on my part, started to change. As I reviewed the content sent out by the environmental study guides created by the Serve the Planet Young Adults Committee, containing such amazing material with regards to environmental consciousness, I started to question myself on my actions and my behavior. Suddenly buying that extra dress or sari just because it was on sale and it was cute and pretty didn't seem to be the right thing to do. Now, as I walk into a store, I repeat this divine mantra. Do I need this? Do I need this? Do I really need this? I started questioning my daily actions. Did I separate my trash? Was I creating too much of waste? If something was not working, can I get it repaired instead of buying something new just because it was available and cheap? As I continued to work on the exhibition content, I started to become more aware of the state of our planet. All my unconscious actions started to hurt me and prick my conscience a little bit more. Now, it was not like this is new knowledge to me, but Swami, with His divine grace, had increased my awareness and my sensitivity. Knowing, brothers and sisters, is one thing. Awareness is quite another. With this awareness, our actions come from the source and not by force. This, as Swami says, is critical to sustain good habits and transformation. In today's conference, we started the day by setting the stage on how the universe was created. This beautiful video that is also shown in the Chaitanya Jyoti shows how Swami had separated himself from himself to love himself, showing us that not only all of us are divine, but every single particle of this creation is divine. Our first speaker, Sister Katinka Won Lumsweert, spoke about the balance between God, nature, and man. She explained how nature is so bountiful and enough for all. However, man is exploiting nature and creating this imbalance. We've become desensitized to the simple things like where does our food come from, how far has it traveled from its source to our plate, and how much impact has it had on the environment before we consume it. We learned that if we increase our consciousness, stop and reflect on what we do and its impact, we become more sensitive to our actions as well as its consequences. After watching a video on climate change, We then moved into an extremely dynamic panel discussion moderated by Dr. Anupam Ganguly, Director of the Satya Sai World Foundation. The panel discussion discussed the impact of man on the environment. One of the key impacts is climate change, of course. This is resulting in rising sea levels. The impact in only 30 years will be so great that we will actually start experiencing our first climate change refugees. We then quickly moved on to solutions and how we can tackle the problem from a policy level, where policies can be championed by governments, a corporate level, where organizations can practice corporate social responsibility and not exploit lack of environmental governance, especially in emerging countries. And finally, and most importantly, on an individual level, where we took the perspective of enjoying nature first, and then loving it, and finally being conscious enough to take care of it. We moved on then to an inspiring talk by Ms. Achenyo Idachaba Obaro on further solutions that can be practiced at all levels to protect the environment. After lunch, we broke into highly engaging study circles, and the following are the resolves from the study circles. The first study circle resolved that all teachings on nature and environment is already discussed in discourses by our beloved Swami, and all we need to do is raise our consciousness by continuing to research into Swami's words so that we may practice these teachings. The second study circle focused on Swami and His divine mercy and grace that taught us that nature and how we are custodians of the future of the environment and the planet. The third study circle had a very interesting outcome. They spoke about developing your SAI, which stands for Self-Awareness Index. And this is the start. As we check our SAI, we continue to put this in practice. And CIA, Constant Integrated Awareness, is the tool that we can use to implement these teachings in our daily lives. The fourth study circle focused on ceiling and desire. They urge us to ask two questions in life every time we make a decision. Firstly, do I need it? And secondly, has this badly affected any animal, human, or living being, innate or innate, in this world? The fifth study circle then focused on the five R's: refuse, reduce, reuse, repurpose, and recycle. Brothers and sisters, throughout the proceedings, I noticed only one common thread: self-awareness and self-expression. Nature is none other than the Vishwarupam of our beloved Lord. We would never for once think of hurting the body of our beloved Swami. Yet, we are not conscious when we hurt Mother Nature. Even if we see Swami experience pain, our heart aches in pain. Yet, we do not feel this with the environment, which is nothing but our Lord. Brothers and sisters, I will conclude with praying to Swami that He gives us this sensitivity, awareness, and knowledge to continuously see Him in all of creation, always. Jai Sai Ram. Allow me to now introduce our speaker for today, Ms. Hrun Hafsindottir. Ms. Hrun Hafsindottir is an attorney, a foreign minister counselor of the Icelandic government. She has almost 30 years of experience in high-level international and national policy making, and multilateral negotiations. She was a deputy chief negotiator at the Paris Agreement, the first global agreement within the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. She is a leading policymaker on climate change, with special focus on renewable energy and protection of the oceans. Ms. Heslin-Dotter is the co-founder and trustee of the Global Charitable Foundation, TUFF Iceland, and a trustee of the Unity of Faith Foundation, working with youth on social cohesion and teachings of human values. Above all, she has been a devotee for many years of our beloved Satya Sai Baba.
With utmost love and humility, I offer myself at the lotus feet of our beloved Satya Sai Baba. Ladies and gentlemen, Sai Ram to all of you from Iceland. I would like to say a big thank you to our beloved Sai Baba for bringing us together, uniting us because of our love for him and his beautiful creation, Mother Earth. Thank you to the Satya Sai organizations internationally, Dr. Narendra Reddy, and here in Puttaparthi, Mr. Ratnakar, for inviting me to this very special, wonderful occasion, the first ever Go Green Conference. I want to start with a personal experience with Baba. Dear Baba, as you know, many years ago, I came rushing from Europe. I arrived in Bangalore Airport and ran straight to you for your wonderful darshan. When I arrived in Prasandinilayam, I was therefore still wearing my travel clothes, and I was sitting amongst thousands of devotees taking in the bliss, when you, to my great surprise, you called my mother and I to the stage where you so gracefully gave us two wonderful gifts, two saris, one for my mother and one for me. Well, Baba, my beloved Baba, today I'm here in front of you wearing that very same sari. Thank you. And what a beautiful occasion to wear that sari for the first time in front of you, and also have the chance to talk about a topic which is so important and so close to my heart, the environment. Thank you so much, dear Baba. I'm very honored. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are gathered together because of a topic which we all need to take very seriously. Our environment, our world, our common home. You might ask yourself, why is it important to discuss the environment? Well, it's a known fact. We know that today that our world is being challenged more than ever in history. But of all the challenges we are faced with, the most serious one is without doubt climate change. But what is it exactly? What is global warming? There is no simple or short way to describe it, but in a few words, It's unpredictable weather, extreme heat, less rain, melting ice from the glaciers, leading to dramatic consequences for our food production and our water reservoirs. We are seeing heavier monsoons, more frequent tsunamis around the world. Polluted air is affecting our health. There is sea level rise and increased acidity, which is already affecting the ocean ecosystems. And these are just few examples. And we are witnessing it right now. Right now, on only this week even, only this week, there are forest fires close to the North Pole. Can you believe this, ladies and gentlemen? Forest fires on the North Pole. And also this week, temperatures in Japan have gone over 50 degrees. Large part of Europe has also been close to 40 degrees most of the summer. And countries like Greece and even Sweden up in the north are having the worst forest fires in history. And people are dying. These are natural disasters, but man-made. Now let's take India, for example. By the year 2050, it is expected that nearly 40 million Indians in coastal areas will be at risk due to sea level rise. That is 40 million people only in India. And 2050 is only 30 years from now. And that means that we are, most of us, or many of us at least, are here, and definitely our children and their families who will have to face this situation. Many other countries in the world are faced with similar situation, or even much, much worse. And all of this is because of our reckless behavior as human beings who have treated the environment, the nature of God, without respect, without humbleness, and without understanding that we and nature are one interdependent. In fact, we human beings, we need the environment much more than the environment needs us. Because of this state of the world, for the first time in history, all countries adopted the first ever universal, legally binding global agreement to limit the increase in global average temperatures to well below 2 degrees Celsius. The United Nations Paris Agreement was born. I'm very proud to have had the chance to contribute to this landmark agreement as the deputy chief negotiator for my country. One of the focus of our discussions was how to slow down the process of these disasters. How can we address climate change? The main answer is renewable energy is the key. Energy coming from the sun, solar power, energy coming from the oceans, the power coming from the waterfalls and the rivers, energy coming from the wind, and not least also from hot water in the ground, what we call geothermal energy. Did you know that geothermal power plants use steam from reservoirs of hot water found a few kilometers or more below the surface of the ground? In my country, Iceland, we have been using clean energy for decades. As many of you might know, Iceland is a cold country, and we are close to the North Pole. But we all use geothermal energy to heat our homes, and to heat our offices, and to heat our schools. And the electricity we use comes from hydropower, using waterfalls and rivers. This has helped us in Iceland on the journey to becoming a modern and vibrant country with energy security, and not least with very low energy prices. In this cold country, Iceland, we have in fact great quality of life because we are using clean energy for heating our houses. We have outdoor swimming pools and football fields used all year round everywhere in the country. And now, dear friends, now you understand why Iceland does so well in football, as you saw in the FIFA World Cup. Environmentally friendly can also give us a great, great national football team. Using this clean energy also means, and this is maybe also the most important thing, is very little pollution. The air we breathe is clean, and the only smoke you see in Iceland is the steam coming from the natural hot water from the ground. We in Iceland, we feel strongly that we have the responsibility to share this experience and this knowledge with other countries in the world. We want to see the Icelandic story repeated everywhere in the world. It's a story with sustainable happiness for the people and for the planet. India is also using clean energy and has abundance of it. We all know that India has ample sun power and waterfalls. But did you know that this country also has hot water in the ground, geothermal energy? And moreover, geothermal energy can be also used for cooling our houses. Dear friends, climate change is happening right now, and it's due to human activities. It's already affecting every single one of us, but more seriously, it will affect the next generation even more. We here, we have the responsibility to act now, not tomorrow, not the day after, but right now, ladies and gentlemen. Our beloved Sai Baba, he underlined the importance of protecting the environment long before any of us knew about climate change. Baba said, and I quote, "The powers of nature are being used in a manner which poses a great threat to the world. The world has not been created for mere enjoyment. Abusing the resources of nature and forgetting his own basic human nature, man is going against the purpose of creation. Many natural catastrophes are entirely due to man's behavior." And these were the divine words of our beloved Satya Sai Baba. Ladies and gentlemen, if everybody had followed his message on environment long time ago, the world would not be in this state. We all have the duty to live as responsible human beings in harmony with nature, respect it, and treat with modesty and humbleness. As devotees of our beloved Sai Baba, we have a special responsibility to show strong leadership and understand that it is our moral and ethical duty to lead by example. It is also our duty to educate others, especially our youth, the young women and men. So when we educate them in human values, we must also emphasize the importance of environment. Ladies and gentlemen, education in human values is education in environmental values. In Iceland, we are implementing a program on education in human environmental values based on the teaching of our beloved Sai Baba. We work with thousands of youth in schools of the capital, Reykjavik, through the Global Foundation, the Unity of Faith Foundation, Tough Iceland, which I am proud to be a co-founder of. We are also working with many governments around the world and UNESCO to spread this important message. It is vital that young people have the necessary knowledge and awareness to participate in policy making for their future, because they are the future, and they will have to deal with the consequences of climate change. It is therefore very encouraging to see all the young adults here in the audience today. I am confident that they will show great leadership on environment, bringing forth green technology and innovation for the betterment of our planet. We have 0 years to solve climate change and cut emissions. 0 years. We must therefore show courage. There is no business as usual anymore. We have to change our behaviors. Everybody has to take action, the governments, businesses, all of us, every single one of us. So Sai brothers and Sai sisters, when we leave this conference, we are all going to promise our beloved Satya Sai Baba that from now on we will make every day a go green day. A go green day. Go green India and go green world. Sai Ram.
Thank you, Sister Hun, for that really inspiring speech. We were definitely inspired by the work that is being done in Iceland and the work that you are doing internationally to inspire people, especially young adults. Our next speaker is Ms. Achenyo Idechaba Obaro. Born in the U.S. to Nigerian parents, Achenyo Idechaba spent her formative years between Nigeria and America, where she forged a successful career in computer science and business analysis. Yet she nursed the idea of going back to Nigeria. In 2009, she finally decided to take what she calls a leap of faith, moving to Ibadan, where she started up an environmental consulting business. Eventually, Ms. Achenyo had formed her current company called MITIMET in 2011. MITIMET is an organization that produces home and personal accessories made from invasive aquatic weeds that flourish in Nigeria's waterways. Ladies and gentlemen, let us welcome Ms. Achenyo Idechaba Obaro.
right, thank you very much. Good afternoon, distinguished ladies and gentlemen. Again, it is a delight and a pleasure to be here speaking again this afternoon, and I'd like to appreciate SSIO, the conveners of this conference, for extending the invitation to me to speak with you today about practical environmental solutions. For those of you that were at the session this morning, this is going to be a build on the conversation that I had in regards to the environment. So for my practical environmental solution, I'm going to present a case study of MITIMET. And the MC already mentioned MITIMET. MITIMET is a social enterprise that I founded and currently run in Nigeria. And I'm going to present our quest to come up with an environmental solution in the context of community as well as environment. Very often people would ask me, MITIMET, what exactly does that mean, or does it have a meaning? And the truth is, it does have a meaning. It was actually coined from two words, and the two words are mitigating methane. And methane is a potent greenhouse gas which has 21 times the global warming potential of carbon dioxide, and is also a major contributor to climate change. So over the next few minutes, the story of MITIMET is going to unfold, and you'll begin to understand why I decided to name this social enterprise MITIMET. Now, unfortunately, I don't have any visuals, but I will try very hard to paint a very vivid illustration. So I'll need your help in terms of imagining what I'm trying to describe here. Eichornia crasseps is a plant that is also known by the name water hyacinth. So Eichornia crasseps is the botanical name, and the more popular name is water hyacinth. Water hyacinth is an invasive aquatic weed, and in 2013, the United Nations Environment Program put out a global environmental alert services report. And in that report, they indicated that water hyacinth is one of the key pressures on biodiversity today. In that same report, they highlighted the fact that water hyacinth had actually invaded and infested water bodies in over 50 countries, both tropical and subtropical zones. The interesting thing about water hyacinth is that water hyacinth is not a native or indigenous plant to Nigeria, and neither is it a native or indigenous plant to India. It is actually native to the Amazon basin in South America. So the question we ask ourselves is, how on earth did it travel all the way from the Amazon basin to water bodies in India, as well as water bodies in Nigeria and, you know, over 40 other countries across the globe? And the answer is probably man. A number of people have mistaken this weed to be an ornamental plant, because when you see it in the waterways, it's a very vibrant looking green leafy plant, and it has a lavender flower on it. So you look at it and you think, oh, this is a beautiful plant. Let me think about how we're going to cultivate this. But once it's introduced into the water bodies, it essentially stakes a territorial claim. And it becomes very, very difficult to eradicate it from the waters once the seeds have been planted. So here we have it. In over 50 countries, we have the presence of water hyacinth. And water hyacinth, as beautiful as it looks, as I mentioned earlier, is an invasive aquatic weed. And, of course, with that in itself, that name or that description in itself, it gives you an idea that it is an environmental menace. Now, I happened upon water hyacinth about, I guess, going on 9 years ago. I was traveling in Lagos on the Third Mainland Bridge, and I saw this very, arresting picture. It was a picture of several fishing boats that had been hemmed in by this dense mat of foliage, and the dense mat of foliage was water hyacinth. And I started to do some research because that picture in itself just represented a bleak future in the sense that, you know, the fishing boats were supposed to be out on the waterways, plying the waterways with fishermen or transporting folks. But here they were hemmed in, you know, transportation curtailed because of the water hyacinth. So I started doing some research on this plant to understand, you know, what it was all about, and found that there were so many negative descriptions of this plant and the environmental havoc it was causing in the waterway. So you have the issue of, you know, boats not being able to ply because it has very, very strong roots. So it damages the outboard engines of boats. It causes siltation. It deprives water of oxygen and sunlight. So fish yields decrease. And it also causes water loss, because when you look at a very, very beautiful plant, but it's 95% water. So when you harvest it, you're essentially harvesting water from the waterway. So all of these negative attributes, but I thought there's got to be something positive about it. And in further reading, discovered that, you know, there were some positive aspects to this plant, and that it could actually be converted to beneficial use. And amongst the several beneficial uses of the water hyacinth, you had it could be used for organic fertilizer, it could be used for biogas, and the reason why it could be used for biogas is because it's very rich in methane, that potent greenhouse gas I mentioned. So you can actually harness that and, you know, create energy from the methane that the plant so richly provides. And then you could also use it for pulp. You convert it to pulp, and pulp is of course good for paper products. And then lastly, you could also use it, actually you could use it for livestock feed, and then you could also use it for handicrafts. Well, I settled on the handicrafts option because I like aesthetic things. And then in addition to that, I figured there has to be a value proposition associated with the transformation of this weed. And it's a value proposition that I know you can relate to very much here in India, because you have a very rich heritage and culture in the area of crafts. So the value proposition was to actually establish an artisan economy by transforming water hyacinth, this natural renewable resource, which reproduces every 2 weeks. So it's considered one of the fastest growing weeds that we have today. So to transform the water hyacinth as well as other agro waste forms into an economic advantage through the empowerment of communities and the production of handcrafted accessories. And I'm going to do some show and tell soon, so just give me a few minutes. So this value proposition was actually going to, you know, comprise of four steps. And the four steps will start with actually harvesting the water hyacinth from the waterways and then drying it. So I mentioned it has 95% water, so by the time the water has all evaporated, you're left with 5% dry weight. And then after drying the water hyacinth, specifically the stems, the first value-added stage would be to weave and make rope from the water hyacinth. And then thirdly, the second stage, value-added stage, would now be to make finished products from the water hyacinth. So what I have here are some show and tell. So this, for example, is a computer case which has been made from water hyacinth harvested from the waterway. So what we looked at as an environmental menace has now been upcycled, and we have now added some value to it and provided the communities with an economic opportunity via the transformation. I also have some other things, such as, you know, these are just small items. I couldn't bring the larger items because it would have been very difficult to transport. But some of the things that we make are these lifestyle accessories, souvenirs such as these keychains here, which are also woven using water hyacinth. We also make dining ware, you know, cup coasters, placemats, personal accessories, and then accent furniture from water hyacinth. And then the fourth stage, so that's the third stage, and then the fourth stage is to actually take these products to market, either the intermediary products, which are the finished rope or matted rope, or the finished products. And we do that through community empowerment, and to date we've trained over 300 women and youth in various riverine communities. And then we also have a production facility where we actually put together a good number of the finished products. So we now push this out into the marketplace via social media platforms, e-commerce. We also take these to exhibitions and events. And then we also sell the products to third-party retail shops. And interestingly, I was having a conversation with one of the devotees at lunch today, and he also, you know, gave some advice on how to further take this to the marketplace, especially if one is looking into the export market. So, Mr. Young, I appreciate the advice that you have provided. Now, to tie this all together, you know, what does this all mean? We were taking this menace, and we're actually, you know, transforming it into products with value, empowering communities, creating jobs in situ within the communities. If you remember this morning, I had a slide that showed the Sustainable Development Goals. And one of the things that I said was that underpinning each of those Sustainable Development Goals was the need to provide some kind of environmental solution. So in our case here, with the environmental solution that we're providing, we have identified five of the SDGs, Sustainable Development Goals, that can actually be achieved. At least we can take steps towards achieving the goals through the solution that we have provided. And that includes no poverty. A number of the communities where we operate or where we train people, the poverty levels are very, very high. So we empower people that otherwise do not have skills with the skills to actually take a natural resource which is in abundance in their midst and do something with it and gain some kind of livelihood. Gender equality, a number of the trainees that we've worked with to date have been women. Not that we discriminate against men, but it so happens that most of the people who have expressed a sincere interest as well as enthusiasm have mostly been women. And what we've done is provide decent work and economic growth for these people. So one of the things that I find very fascinating about some of the things that our artisans have done within the communities is actually paid forward. So you train them, and instead of keeping the knowledge to themselves, they've been reaching out to people within the community to let them know that, we've found an economic opportunity that really does not involve too much of a hassle here. You can actually do the work at home. You can do it in groups. So that part of this solution has definitely been very rewarding. And then we look at the climate action aspects of it. I mentioned the fact that, you know, the plant is very rich in methane, and methane into the atmosphere is not a good thing. So what we're doing is, you know, taking it before it gets to that point of, you know, decomposing and emitting these emissions into the atmosphere and actually doing something with it. And then life below water. I mentioned one of the disadvantages or one of the problems associated with the infestation is low fish yields. So typically you have fishermen complain that any time the infestation of the weed is present, that their fish yields are low, that their catches, the fish catch is very low. So by encouraging people to harvest the water hyacinth on a regular basis during periods of infestation, we're, you know, hoping and driving the fact that you can actually enable your fish to thrive and subsequently have greater fish yields for those that depend on the waterways for their livelihoods. People often ask how I came up with the idea to do this. My background is certainly not in botany, and it's not necessarily in the creative arts, well, up until recently. And I tell people, I mean, some people actually confess that they always notice the nuisance weed, but the thought of transforming it into anything useful never crossed their minds. And I tell people that this all came about through divine inspiration. And my prayer and hope is that as we go about our daily activities, we'll be sensitive to the things around us, as well as inspired to take action when required. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Mr. Chinyo. You know how Swami says, there is nothing wrong with Srishti. There is only something wrong with our Drishti. There is nothing wrong with creation. There is only fault in our vision and the way we look at it. And her talk directly inspired that the way we look at the world, instead of looking at problems, we seek to find solutions in that problems, was definitely an inspiration to all of us. Brothers and sisters, we now move on to a beautiful offering of love by the devotees of California, United States of America.
Divine lotus feet. We are Balvika's children from America, Swami, and we thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to sing to you and to tell you how much we love you.
Our dear Swami, we have come from the Glendale Sai Spiritual Education Program in Southern California, and we have the support of our elders from the Glendale Arcadia Sadhana Group. It is a beautiful dream come true to be here with you, Swami.
Precious Swami, you have blessed us again and again. We came as a group to you first in 1989, and you have showered your grace on us many times since then. We are eternally grateful to you, Swami.
Beloved Swami, our offering today is a collection of devotional songs in English, expressing our love to you. Please forgive us for any mistakes that we make, Swami, and bless us that we make you happy.
Dear Swami, more than anything else, make us your very own. Guide us to always hold you in our hearts and love your entire creation. We love you very, very much, Swami.
You are my life. Thank you. I will never forget thee. I will never forsake thee. I will never forget thee. Prathama Pujana Daina Raya.
Prathama Pujana Daina Raya.
Prathama Pujana Daina Raya.
Sundara Nandalala Gopala
Kastubhadari Vanamala Shyamala Madana Gopala
Kastubhadari Vanamala Shyamala Madana Gopala
Radha Madhava Madana Gopala
Mathura Natha
Gopala
Mathura Natha
Gopala
Parthinandana Hridaya
ಸಂಜೀವನ ಶ್ಯಾಮಲ ಮದನ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಶ್ಯಾಮಲ ಮದನ ಗೋಪಾಲ ರಾಧೇಶ್ಯಾಮ ರಾಧೇಶ್ಯಾಮ ಸಾಯಿ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಸಾಯಿ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ರಾಧೇಶ್ಯಾಮ ರಾಧೇಶ್ಯಾಮ ಸಾಯಿ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಸಾಯಿ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಸುಂದರ ನಂದಲಾಲ ಕೌಸ್ತುಭಧಾರಿ ವನಮಾಲಾಧರ ಶ್ಯಾಮಲ ಮದನ ಗೋಪಾಲ ರಾಧೇಶ್ಯಾಮ ರಾಧೇಶ್ಯಾಮ ಸಾಯಿ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಸಾಯಿ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಮದನ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಮಧುರಾನಾಥ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಪರ್ತಿನಂದನ ಹೃದಯ ಸಂಜೀವನ ಶ್ಯಾಮಲ ಮದನ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಶ್ಯಾಮಲ ಮದನ ಗೋಪಾಲ ರಾಧೇಶ್ಯಾಮ ರಾಧೇಶ್ಯಾಮ ಸಾಯಿ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಸಾಯಿ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ರಾಧೇಶ್ಯಾಮ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಸಾಯಿ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ರಾಧೇಶ್ಯಾಮ ಸಾಯಿ ಶ್ಯಾಮ
बोलो जय साई राम बोलो जय साई राम बोलो जय साई राम बोलो जय साई राम बोलो जय ಬೋಲೋ ಜೈ ಸಾಯಿ ರಾಮ್ ಬೋಲೋ ಜೈ ಸಾಯಿ ರಾಮ್
Hey, son. శిరిడి జగన్నాథ హే పరితి జగన్నాథ హే సాయి జగన్నాథ
హే శిరిడి జగన్నాథ హే పరితి జగన్నాథ హే సాయి జగన్నాథ
హే సాయి జగన్నాథ హే సాయి జగన్నాథ హే సాయి జగన్నాథ దీనబంధు సాయినాథ కరుణా సింధు జగన్నాథ పరితి జగన్నాథ హే సాయి జగన్నాథ
శ్రీ జగన్నాథ హే పరితి జగన్నాథ హే సాయి జగన్నాథ
హే శ్రీ జగన్నాథ హే పరితి జగన్నాథ హే సాయి జగన్నాథ
సాయి రామ్ సాయి రామ్ భజో
రామ్
సాయి రామ్
సాయి రామ్
భజో సద్గురు సాయి రామ నామ భజో సద్గురు సాయి రామ నామ భజో సాయి రామ్ సాయి రామ్ భజో సాయి రామ్ సాయి రామ్ సాయి రామ్ భజో సాయి రామ్ సాయి రామ్ సాయి రామ్ భజో అల్లా మాలిక్ సాయి రామ్ భజో బుద్ధ మహావీర సాయి రామ్
భజో
బుద్ధ మహావీర సాయి రామ్ భజో యేషు పితా ప్రభు సాయి రామ్ భజో యేషు పితా ప్రభు సాయి రామ్ భజో సాయి రామ్ సాయి రామ్ సాయి రామ్ భజో
సాయి రామ్ సాయి రామ్ సాయి రామ్ భజో
సాయి రామ్ సాయి రామ్ సాయి రామ్ భజో
సాయి రామ్ సాయి రామ్
సాయి రామ్ భజో సద్గురు సాయి రామ నామ భజో సాయి రామ్ సాయి రామ్ సాయి రామ్ భజో సాయి రామ్ సాయి రామ్ సాయి రామ్ భజో సాయి రామ జో
బుద్ధ మహావీర సాయి రామ జో
యేసు పితా ప్రభు సాయి రామ జో
సాయి రామ జో సాయి రామ సాయి రామ సాయి రామ జో సాయి రామ సాయి రామ సాయి రామ జో
హర శివ శంకర శశాంక శేఖర హర హర బం 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 బోలో
హర శివ శంకర శశాంక శేఖర హర బం 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 బోలో
హర శివ శంకర శశాంక శేఖర హర బం 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 బోలో
హర శివ శంకర శశాంక శేఖర హర బం హర బం బం బం
భవా భయంకర గిరిజా శంకర ధిమి 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 తేలో భవా భయంకర గిరిజా శంకర ధిమి 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 తేలో హర శివ శంకర శశాంక శేఖర హర బం హర బం 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 బోలో
హర శివ శంకర శశాంక శేఖర హర బం హర బం 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 బోలో
హర శివ శంకర శశాంక శేఖర హర బం హర బం 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 బోలో శంకర ధిమి 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 తన తన ఖేలో భవా భయంకర గిరిజా శంకర ధిమి 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 తన తన ఖేలో శంకర శశాంక శేఖర హర బం హర బం 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 బోలో భవా భయంకర గిరిజా శంకర ధిమి 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 తన తన హేలో హర శివ శంకర శశాంక శేఖర హర బం హర బం 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 బోలో
హర శివ శంకర శశాంక శేఖర హర బం హర బం బం బోలో
భవా భయంకర గిరిజా శంకర ధిమి 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 తన తన హేలో
శశాంక శేఖర హర బం హర బం 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 బోలో
భజో రాధే గోవింద భజో శ్యామ గోపాల
భజో రాధే గోవింద భజో శ్యామ గోపాల
భజో రాధే గోవింద భజో శ్యామ గోపాల శ్యామ గోపాల భజో మురళీ గోపాల
శ్యామ గోపాల భజో మురళీ గోపాల
శ్యామ గోపాల భజో మురళీ
గోపాల
భజో రాధే గోవింద భజో శ్యామ గోపాల
రాధే
గోవింద భజో శ్యామ గోపాల కేశవ నర హరి శ్యామ గోపాల హర మురళీ గోపా
మాధవ మురళ హర మురళీ గోపా
మాధవ మురళ హర మురళీ గోపా
మాధవ మురళ హర మురళీ గోపా
భజో రాధే గోవింద భజో శ్యామ గోపా శ్యామ గోపాల భజో మురళీ గోపా భజో రాధే గోవింద భజో శ్యామ గోపాల కేశవ నర హరి శ్యామ
గోపాల
మాధవ మురార మురళీ గోపాల మురళీ
గోపాల
భజో రాధే గోవింద భజో శ్యామ గోపాల
ఓం జయ జగదీశ హరే స్వామి సత్య సాయి హరే భక్త జనా సంరక్షక భక్తజనా సంరక్షక వసి మహేశ్వర ఓం జయ జగదీశ హరే శశివదనాశీకర సర్వా ప్రాణపతి స్వామి సర్వా ప్రాణపతి ఆశ్రిత కల్పలదీపా ఆశ్రిత కల్పలదీపా ఆమద్బాంధవ ఓం జయ జగదీశ హరే పితా గురుదైవము మరియంతయు నీవే స్వామి మరియంతయు నీవే నాద బ్రహ్మ జగన్నాథ నాద బ్రహ్మ జగన్నాథ నాగేంద్ర శయన ఓం జయ జగదీశ హరే ఓంకార రూప జయ శివ సాయి మహాదేవ సత్య సాయి మహాదేవ మంగళ హారతి అందుకో మంగళ హారతి అందుకో మందర గిరిధారి ఓం జయ జగదీశ హరే నారాయణ నారాయణ సత్య నారాయణ 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 ఓం జయ సద్గురుదేవా నారాయణ నారాయణ సత్య నారాయణ 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 సత్య నారాయణ నారాయణ సత్య నారాయణ నారాయణ ఓ
జయ బోలో जय